This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. How much we enjoy spending this time with you Monday through Saturday right here on Catholic Radio, always inviting you to join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Do have a couple of numbers that I'm eager to give to you. I sure am. If you're in North America, we have a toll-free number for you. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. Begins with the country code. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We invite you to pick up the phone and give us a call, and we'll get you right to the head of the line there. We certainly will, so that we can hear what is going on in your world. We also always encourage you to share with your friends that we're available to you right here on Catholic Radio, and that they too, like you, can join us via social media as well. Jeff Burson is out there handling all of that for us, as well as producing the program. Just go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. That's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement right up there for us in the chat feature of those beautiful locations. And I get them here via the beautiful opportunity of electronic communication. We want to let you know that our call screener today is Michael Birchfield, and he is eager to take your calls. Be sure to give him a howdy hey when you call in today on this beautiful feast of Our Blessed Lady, the feast of the Assumption of Our Mother into Heaven. What a great opportunity it is to celebrate these marvelous days, these feast days, within the life of our liturgical season. And I always like to remind myself and remind you as well that these feast days are very important to us, because they focus our attention on the realities that God would have us know in reference to and in relation to the mysteries of the divine life and the mysteries of our faith, that help and encourage us to move ever forward in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, because all of these doctrines, these dogmas that are given to us by Holy Mother Church in relation to Our Blessed Lady, all are telling us something about our Lord. They're all pointing to Him. And when we look at the Feast of the Assumption, this is no different than anything else. People would say, well, why do you believe that? Well, we believe it because it tells us that God chose this woman to be the mother of His Son. And in choosing her to be the mother of His Son, He chose her to be able to house within her own body the Word made flesh. That tells us that Our Blessed Lady was preserved from the stain of original sin from the moment of her conception. We celebrate that reality in the life of Our Blessed Lady, pointing to the one whom she was carrying in her womb on December 8th, which is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. But because she was immaculately conceived, the stain of original sin never affected her. The residual effect of original sin, in many ways, did not apply to her. And so this beautiful, beautiful virgin never had original sin, never committed a sin in her life. Therefore, you know, the prophetic word of God the Father in the garden toward Adam and all of his progeny, including his wife Eve, that he would die, would be not applicable to her in the sense of her undergoing corruption. The Church has never proclaimed whether or not Our Blessed Lady actually took a last breath. It talks about the dormition of Our Mother, which is an indication that maybe she went through something, but that she was then immediately, body and soul, taken into heaven. And that is the feast that we celebrate today, the Assumption of Our Lady. And this beautiful reality about Our Mother points to something significant about ourselves. We will not have that same holy privilege that she had. We are scathed by original sin. Our soul will be separated from our body. But at a certain point in time, when Jesus comes again, there will be a unification once more of our bodies and of our soul, right? Our body and our soul will come together. And so we then will enjoy the full measure of heavenly bliss. I've heard it stated, and it sounds odd to our ears, but I've heard it stated that in heaven, everybody enjoys the Immaculate Conception in some way, meaning that now they have an eternal life, experience the fullness of this union with God that our Blessed Lady knew from the moment of her conception. So what a beautiful, beautiful feast for us to meditate upon the divine realities, how God selected our Blessed Mother from before the very foundations of the world were laid in place to be the mother of the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah. But also she, points to the reality that we all will enjoy and know in the heavenlies. And she's also the sign of the church that Jesus will come back for his bride, and his bride will be immaculate. His bride will be pure, without spot or blemish, it says in sacred scripture, without a wrinkle. So these kinds of feast days point us to these great mysteries of faith that we ought to take into our time of prayer and sit with and allow the Holy Spirit to open up for us in new ways so that we might have ever deeper understanding about who we are and how we play out in this mystery of God's design. How it is that he desires for us, even at this point in our lives on earth, in this temporal existence that we are in, how he desires for us to know, at least in some way to be able to taste these realities that are alive within us, that are taking shape and form within us, that ignite the reality of the God life within us. So I hope that you will take advantage of that opportunity, and I hope that you certainly will ask our Blessed Lady on this, her feast day, to imbue you with every spiritual blessing in the heaven that comes by way of her maternal beatitude and her maternal intercession. In Graceful Living, the book that I have been using all of this week to read to you these beautiful passages, quotations from saints and Holy Mother Church that help for us to know more deeply these mysteries of faith, we have a beautiful, beautiful, lovely poem that's given to us by Sir John Beaumont, who lived from 1583 to 1627. And it's about the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. And it gives us some deeper insights into this great mystery that we are looking at today, that we are celebrating today, that God would have us know in an ever-deepening way today. And when we come back from our break in just a little while, we are going to take a look at that poem. And I want you to think about this as we make our way towards that break. I want for you to think about, what is God saying to me in a very specific way? What would God have me know about him through this beautiful feast? What would he desire for me to be able to experience more deeply in my life of faith? What about the Assumption speaks a holy word to me, maybe even a prophetic word to me? And how can I cooperate with that word? All of that and so much more. Excuse me, when we come back from our break, inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today, inviting you to join us live here. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you to use here in North America. And we've got Michael Birchfield there doing our call screening for us, and he's looking forward to hearing from you. That's 833-288-3986. You can also reach us if you are outside of North America by calling country code 1-205 271 205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Inviting you also to join us out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we can accept your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement via social media that way too. Jeff Burson, our producer, manages all of that for us. And golly gee, it's such a beautiful day in the Lord, and here we are celebrating this wonderful feast day. Asked you a question, you know, how do you think the assumption applies to you, and promised you we were going to read you a lovely poem. I'm going to ask you that are holding out there for us to continue to hold for just a moment as I read this poem. Let's see if this gives you any insights. And I'm going to read you the reflection first because I want you to pay attention to the poem. You might be able to answer something here based on the reflection. And here is what I'd like you to think about as we read the poem. How do you think Mary's assumption into heaven was anticipated by her Immaculate Conception? And here is the little question. What hint does the poem provide? So you can think about that question. How do you think Mary's assumption into heaven was anticipated by her Immaculate Conception? And as I read, you can be thinking about the hint that the poem itself provides for some insight on that. And this beautiful poem is written by Sir John Beaumont. 1583 to 1627 was his lifespan. And here's what he writes. Who is she that ascends so high, next the heavenly King, round about whom angels fly and her praises sing? Who is she that, adorned with light, makes the sun her robe, at whose feet the Queen of Night lays her changing globe? To that crown direct their eyes, which her head attires. There thou mayest her name descry, writ in starry fires. This is she in whose pure womb heaven's prince remained. Therefore, in no earthly tomb can she be contained. Heaven she was, which held that fire, whence the world took light, and to heaven doth now aspire, flames with flames to unite. She that did so clearly shine when our day begun, see how bright her beams decline, now she sits with the sun. Isn't that a lovely poem? I just love poetry, have to admit it, always have. Spiritual poetry, religious poetry, Catholic poetry is just absolutely glorious and takes us, you know, to new places in our time of prayer and new places in our life of faith. So if you ever have a chance to pick up an anthology of Catholic poetry, do it. For those of you that have the Liturgy of the Hours, many times in the back of the liturgy, you're going to find poems there that are just absolutely glorious. Well, let's go to Mary. She's waiting for us out there in Oregon. She is with us via YouTube today. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call, Janet. I love your show.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for listening.
Yes, I have two questions.
Okay.
First question is regarding making the sign of the cross in the church, in the Catholic Church. I have visited non-Catholic Christian church, and sometimes when I'm walking into the church, I feel like doing the sign of the cross, but I feel like everybody's looking at me weird.
Yes.
And I don't do it. But when I come to the Catholic church, I feel like I have to do it because it's a tradition, but I'm not really sure what it means when I'm doing it or how to explain to non-Catholics what it means.
Okay, so
question.
Yeah, what a good question you're asking here, and I thank you very much for it. It gives us an opportunity to talk about one of my favorite prayers, which is the sign of the cross. So, Mary, just by way of clarification, are you Catholic or you're not Catholic?
I'm Catholic.
Oh, you are. Okay. All right. So I asked that question because I find it interesting that, you know, you sometimes go to non-Catholic churches to pray. I would encourage you always, if you can, to go to a Catholic church, because reserved in the Catholic Church is the real presence of our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And even when Jesus is reposed in the Blessed Sacrament, he is present to us, even when we can't see him because he is in the tabernacle. That in no way diminishes the reality of his presence with us. And that's always very efficacious, to go to adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, whether he is exposed or reposed, and to make our petitions to God and just to sit there and experience the presence of God with us. So just a little thought maybe that you'll want to consider. But I love your question, and I want to talk about the sign of the cross because it is a prayer. And it's a prayer that really, in a certain way, reminds us of several things. First of all, we sign ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sign itself, you know, making that cross, using that gesture, reminds us of our baptismal vows. Because at the moment of our baptism, we are signed and sealed with the Holy Spirit via the sign of the cross that is traced on our forehead. And so it immediately, in a certain way, stirs up within us the graces of our baptism. And the graces of our baptism are very, very strong. And obviously, it's through baptism that we become the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. We become the brethren of Christ. We become indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We become part of the mystical body of Christ. So the sign of the cross immediately should remind us of our baptism. If it doesn't, it's okay. Maybe we've never heard this before. So what I would encourage all of us to do when we sign ourselves with the cross is to have a certain intentionality about it. Number one, and foremost, that we are here professing the reality of our baptism. We could even say it's a type of mini renewal of our baptismal vows. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's an aspect of that that's also very important. We know that at the moment of our baptism, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We become, if you will, the property of God, right? And so in our baptismal vows, we are renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And when we sign ourselves with the cross, it also reminds us of that reality. As a matter of fact, exorcists will tell us, and those who work in deliverance ministry, that the sign of the cross is so very important. That the sign of the cross, the prayer of the cross, the beautiful, for lack of a better word, gesture that we make in signing ourselves with the cross. You know, there's an efficacy to that, and it causes the evil one to flee. So if we're ever in serious temptation, if we're ever being bombarded by the attacks of the evil one of the things that we want to do immediately is to sign ourselves with the cross. Because it becomes a very powerful spiritual prayer and spiritual weapon against the wiles and the tactics of the evil one. And it makes a statement to him. And this is something that I found out in a beautiful book written by a dear friend of mine, Mr. Bert Ghezzi, G-H-E-Z-Z-I. This book might still be out there at EWTNRC.com. Check it out. Buy it if it's there. It's one of my favorite books. It's a book that Bert wrote all on the sign of the cross. And he talks about how it was that in ancient times, in biblical times, in the New Testament times, that if a person, a gentleman, became a soldier for a king, that soldier was branded, that soldier was actually branded with the seal of the king that he served. Okay. And that seal on his arm immediately identified himself as a soldier for this king. All right. So we, at the moment of our baptism, are signed with a cross. And this is an indelible sign. It's not a branding on our body like in ancient times, but it's a branding on our soul. And so we too are branded with the seal of the king whom we serve. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Redeemer, Messiah, Savior. And so the evil one sees that indelible sign. And it identifies us as a soldier for Christ. And within the context of our baptismal vows, you see, within the context of that great sacrament, we are being made, we are being, if you will, enlisted into the army of the King. And then when we receive our confirmation, that strengthening power comes upon us, where now we're not only enlisted soldiers, but we become soldiers sent on mission. And what is our mission? In the sacrament of confirmation, we gain the capacity to be evangelizers, to proclaim the name of Jesus, to go out there and fight the good fight, to go out there and wage a holy war against the tactics of the evil one, to bring salvation to the world, to participate in that great mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why we sign ourselves. And I think that we as Catholics, unfortunately, we do not have intentionality when we make the sign of the cross. It becomes something that we simply do. It becomes just a part of, such a routine aspect of our life of faith that we cease to pay attention to what it is that we're actually saying with that sign. And so I want to encourage all of us today, and oh, I know it would make Our Lady so very happy on this, her feast day. It's a little gift that we can give to her. We can ask for the grace to be able to sign ourselves with that cross in intentionality, to serve as the soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ, to go into mission and battle with him, just as she went into mission and battle with him against the tactics and the wiles of the evil one. And if we do that, oh, gracious me, we are going to discover, new vistas opening up for us in our time of prayer. And when we pray the prayer that follows, whether it's the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Glory Be, whether it's the rosary, the holy sacrifice of the mass, we begin with the sign of the cross, don't we? Well, we're going to find that there's a beautiful release of grace that's been there waiting for us, just asking us to open ourselves more fervently to receive that which God wants us to know. So I want to encourage you, Mary, do make the sign of the cross many times during the day. Use it as your weapon to fight temptation. Use it as your weapon to identify yourself as a soldier for Christ. Use it as the means by which you are renewing your baptismal vows. Stand in that reality, honey, and let's just see what happens to your life of prayer. I think it's going to be great. The second part of your question here is this: why do Catholics light candles? So why do we light a candle? Isn't that a beautiful thing that we do? And I love when we go into a church and we see those candles flickering. And personally, I understand that, sometimes it's nice. Churches use these battery operated ones and electric ones, and I get all that. But there's something about lighting a candle, something about that very gesture. It's a participation in something deep. It's a statement about ourselves in reference to the petition that we are going to pray. So when we light a candle we're praying for somebody, especially votive candles, or we're offering a prayer to Our Lady, it indicates that we are entering into a time of prayer. It indicates our intention to pray for the person whose name we are going to mention. And it reminds us that we're involving ourselves in a sacred kind of union, in a sacred moment where God comes and is present to us. So that's a very beautiful thing to do, to light votive candles. To have votive candles in our house in front of statues or icons is a beautiful thing to do. At our time of prayer, many times I find it lighting a candle is a means to help me enter into prayer if I find that I'm very distracted. So you've asked some good questions there, Mary, and I'm very, very appreciative for them. And we invite you to contact us as well. Toll free right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. And here is a question from George, a YouTube question. He is in Australia today. And he says, was the Blessed Mother assumed bodily, and did she die a natural death? Well, George, yes, she was assumed bodily, body and soul into heaven. So she is there sitting at the right hand of her son. There's Father God. There's our Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven, body and soul, and sitting next to our Lord Jesus Christ, to his right, is our Blessed Mother. And she too, body and soul in heaven. And we ought not to be surprised about this, because even in the Old Testament accounts, we know that there is reference that some were assumed into heaven. We think of Elijah, for example, right? So this is not anything that we ought to find unintended by sacred scripture or something that's in opposition to sacred scripture. Sacred scripture doesn't record the assumption of Our Blessed Lady, but there's evidence of it in other passages. I heard it once expressed that even in the angel salutation, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, in some way anticipates this assumption of hers into heaven. So yes, that is a dogma of the church. We as Catholics are called by Holy Mother Church to believe in the assumption of Our Blessed Lady. But what Holy Mother Church does not pronounce on, and what she hasn't told us we ought to believe one way or the other, was whether or not Our Blessed Mother actually died. And I was referring earlier in the program to a term that is often used in reference to this moment, the time of her dormition. So it may be that she, you know, fell asleep and was immediately raised up. We don't know about that moment. The church has never proclaimed one way or the other. And so we are rather free to think of it either way, that Mary did pass away, but then the angels came immediately and lifted her up. Maybe, you know, even Jesus came and lifted his, you know, mother, raised her from the state of being dead. But what we do know is that her body did not undergo any corruption. And so if there was that kind of a moment, it would be an immediate and spontaneous moment. So the church refers to it as the time of Our Lady's dormition. We can also believe that none of that happened, that it just at the moment that God the Father said, okay, it's time for you, Mary, you know, the angels just came and lifted her up. We don't have any real clear teaching on that aspect of the moment. So I offer that to you, George, and you can get out there and do some research on this yourself. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, of course, gives us some insight. Well, we've got others of you with us via social media today. We're going to get back and take your questions. We're looking forward to hearing from you via telephone, 2-833-288-EWTN. Our lines are open for you. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to remind you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of excellent resources available for you there. I invite you to see what we've got offering for you today. All kinds of wonderful things to help you live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We'll be right back with you on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Benkovic. Very happy to be with you today. So eager to hear from you. And we invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That is the toll-free number for you to use right here in North America, 833-288-3986. Also encouraging you to use the opportunity that you have right out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature and get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations up here on the board. Jeff Burson manning that. Michael Birchfield out there on phones today. So Mary, I'm hoping that helped you, and I am delighted that you called in today. And George, good to hear from you via YouTube. And it looks like we have Ada out there on YouTube too, and she says, why is today a holy day of obligation? So if I don't go to Mass, have I sinned? All right, so Ada, it is a holy day of obligation, and we have only a few of those in our church, six of them, as a matter of fact, and some of them have been relegated, like Ascension Thursday in some dioceses, to the Sunday, and they call it Ascension Sunday. But in other dioceses, Ascension Thursday is still a holy day of obligation. It is up to the bishop to make that determination. And some of them, if they fall like on a Saturday or on a Monday, the church will also celebrate. They fall on a Saturday or on a Monday, the church will celebrate on the Sunday. But some of them, no. And this particular feast is a very important one in the life of the church. And so it is a holy day of obligation. We do celebrate holy days of obligation by going to Mass. And the answer to your question is, if you miss Mass, have you sinned? Yes, you have sinned, because Holy Mother Church obligates gets us to so few of these days. And obviously, they're very important to us in our life of faith, or she would not make them holy days of obligation. So I want to encourage you, Ada, and all of you listening today, to make certain that you do get to Mass. Check out what the schedule is at your own parish, but if that's not convenient for you, certainly try to get to another parish where there is a Mass that's available to you. I am very blessed my parish, for example, we have the whole panoply of Sunday Masses available. So we have two vigil Masses on Saturday, or excuse me, the two Saturday vigil Masses will happen the vigil day of the upcoming feast. And then we have the full complement of the Masses that we would have on a Sunday also available to us. So our pastor tries to make it very, very convenient for us and very, very accessible so that we can fulfill our obligation. I hope that that helps you, Ada. Get out there, go online, see when the next Mass is today for you and try to take advantage of that opportunity. Let's go to Kristen. She's calling us from Louisiana this morning. She is listening to us on iCatholic Radio. Good morning, Kristen.
Well, I'm a little further away. I'm Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. So that's the L.A. Yeah. I see that. I just interpreted it as the state, but you're in Los Angeles. Well, you're out there pretty far, girlfriend.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I love iCatholic Radio. It's great.
Well, I'm so happy that you have access to Catholic Radio. What a great gift it is for us in our day and time. So what's going on with you, Sister in Christ?
I just had a little tiny clarification, too, actually.
Uh-huh.
In the first one, the Fathers and Doctors of the Church, you're quite right about the Dormition of Our Lady. These are not doctrinal, you know, dogmas or anything, but it is the, I would say, consensus of the Fathers and Doctors of the Church that she, Our Lady, imitated Our Lord in everything, and she wanted, even though it is absolutely correct, she did not need to suffer the punishment of death for original sin. She imitated her son in death, in dying, the same way she stood with him and suffered the passion and so forth. So that's just one of the little things that the fathers and the doctors put in there, that she did choose to imitate, even though she didn't have to. She didn't
right.
have to suffer. You know, so anyway, and then the next thing, and this is a small clarification too. Prior to the assumption of Our Lady, body and soul, into heaven, especially in the Old Testament, there was no heaven to be assumed into. We weren't redeemed yet.
That's
now,
right.
Now, it's again a clarification of the, it's not like there is anybody that's been assumed body and soul into heaven prior to Our Lady, but it is true that both Elias and Enoch walked with the Lord. And so what is understood by this, by the saints and by fathers and doctors of the church, at least they discuss this, is that God has some very great mystery in his divine providence. And it is believed that they were taken to a place, body and soul. They did not die yet. And they were taken body and soul to a place like paradise, which, you know, only can be entered, you know, if God allows it, because there's an angel with a flaming sword there. And they are there till he chooses. And it is generally thought that at the end of time, the two witnesses that appear in the apocalypse are Elias and Enoch. And this is why the Jews expected Elias to come before the Messiah to some extent. And that's why our Lord said that St. John the Baptist had come in the spirit of Elias.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many mysteries that we still have that are, and that's, I think, the wonder of the faith, is that we have these wonderful mysteries, and that we all like mysteries, and that God is unfolding these things in time. And there are still some that are to unfold yet. So it's just a thought there.
Well, I thank you very much. Very good clarification. But even still, the church has not really pronounced on Our Lady's Dormition
yes.
one way or the other. So that was
that
the point
true.
That I was trying to make there. But it is,
yes.
it would make perfect sense that Our Lady would choose to imitate her son in all things, because she was intricately a part of his mission and intricately a part of God's plan for salvation. So, you know, I think that that's a very good argument. I've heard it argued the other way too. And so we await the mystery, Kristen. It's going to be so exciting to discover all of these things when we have that opportunity. Yes. From the heavenly kingdom.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Jeanette, isn't it wonderful?
It is indeed. Thank you so much for your call today, Kristen, and call us again.
Thank you, Jeanette. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you, too. Very interesting. And, of course, you know, these are the things, as Kristen says, that are unfolding in time. But, you know, some of these, I think, will be reserved until we have the opportunity to see things from the heavenlies. The Holy Spirit is always at work in the life of this church and always helping for us to enter more deeply into these profound mysteries that we have. We have Nancy with us. She's calling us from Connecticut. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here today. 833-288-3986 right here for you in North America. Let's go to Nancy. She is listening via the EWTN app from Connecticut today. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm okay. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. God is good.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Oh, that's why I'm asking.
Yes.
I hate calling and asking. I don't. For things, but I was just wondering if we could just say a prayer for my mom, since it's, I was talking to the call screener, and since today's the Assumption of Mary, and I was wondering maybe if we could, my mom, we just had to, she's sick, and she's in the nursing home, and yesterday we just met with the hospice people, and my mom's Catholic and everything, but she hasn't been to church in a long, long time. Well, she came to see me in the choir last year, but she has it deep in her soul. And I was wondering maybe if we say a prayer, and I guess they're going to have a chaplain go in and talk to her too, mm-hmm. and stuff. And maybe, who the heck knows, maybe something beautiful will happen at the end or something. And I thought, since it's the Assumption of Mary today, maybe Mary could get in there and do some cool stuff too. By, you know, interceding if we pray to her today. And I love the way that you pray when I hear you pray with people. So I said, oh, maybe Jeanette could, you know, have a little leeway going. So let me call up and see. Just
yes.
So that, I mean, I'm really sad, actually, but I'm just, you know, but I'm excited that maybe something beautiful will happen, too, if I ask and reach out for help. And so my mom could get to, you know, go where she's supposed to go. And, where she was meant to go from her
Nancy.
Baptism and all that, you know?
Sure.
So I just wanted to ask you that. And plus me, I'm an alcoholic, and I went back out drinking over this whole ordeal, which, and I just wanted a prayer for that too, I just want to, you know, I came back to the rooms. I was telling the call screener, I'm back in the program again, but
good.
Just a little bit more strength for me too. So I could be there for myself, my mom, my family, and that.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, a couple of things. First of all, honey, I want to let you know that we certainly are going to pray, and that we unite ourselves to your cross in a special way through that prayer. And I wanted to just give you this little word, and you are giving us a beautiful witness of hope today. You know, I love the way in which you are anticipating God to intervene in the midst of this circumstance, and the way in which at the same time you're surrendering it all to Him. And I heard that in everything that you said. You know, you're asking for prayer. You're asking for, you know, a special grace, both for yourself and for your mother. But at the same time, you're also saying you just want her to be where He wants her to be and where He knows she needs to be. And that kind of prayer is so pleasing to the heart of the Father. And it shows that you are living out the reality of what hope is. And I like to give this little acronym for hope. The H is stands for hold on to the truths of the faith. The O, you know, own the challenge. The P, persevere in patience and prayer. And the E, expect God to intervene. And you're doing all of that. The other thing I want to comment on is how proud I am of you, that you have gotten up. And you're fighting the good fight again with regard to your own disability of alcoholism. And what a beautiful witness that is to us. Because, you know, all of us have proclivities, Nancy. There's always, you know, weaknesses and tendencies that we have within ourselves that can lead us very far away from God. And all of the saints knew this. And they just didn't allow those proclivities to have the final word. When they fell, they got back up again. And that's what you're showing us today. You fell, but you got back up again. And that's not failure, that's success. We're all going to trip. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to succumb. But when we choose to get back up and to move forward in our life in Christ, when we choose the good again, God comes with an abundance of grace. And I forget who said this, but I think, frankly, I think it was St. Alphonsus Liguori, now that I'm recollecting. And he made the statement that, you know, when we fall and we sin greatly, God can sometimes raise us up to a greater place of sanctity than we were before. And the reason for that has to do with humility. We see the weakness of our condition. We see the way in which we are not able to resolve all of our issues, and we depend more and more on God. And you know that from the 12-step program. But for all of us, whether we're in a 12-step program or not, God plots out the course for us, and that course always involves us recognizing our weakness and seeing in the midst of that His strength and His capacity to lift us up. One other, just a word here. It's lovely that hospice is going to bring in a chaplain. I would be very circumspect, though, about who it is that they're brought in. Not all hospices are created equal. My experience with hospice has always been tremendous, but others have had other kinds of experiences. So you're going to want to make certain that this chaplain is a Catholic person, a Catholic priest, or a Catholic religious, somebody who is well acquainted with the faith and who practices the faith. So, you know, if that's not the case, then I would go to the parish that's in your area, maybe your mom's parish, and I would ask for a priest to be sent to minister to her. Okay? So I just want to put that out there. So now let's pray for your mom, Nancy, and let's pray for you too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we do come before you in this moment on this beautiful feast of your daughter, Our Lady. And we ask that on this feast, abundant blessings would rain down upon Nancy's mother through the hands of our Blessed Lady, making their way into her heart, into her soul, giving her that peace that surpasses understanding, that sure knowledge of your presence and the presence of your Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask that Mary would attend to her and that she would be mother to her in all of the ways that she needs, spiritually most especially, but emotionally and psychologically as well. I pray that your daughter Nancy would be, in a certain way, a mini Mary, that she would bring her mother confidence and assurance, that she would help her mother to see that she is not forsaken nor abandoned, but that God is with her, Emmanuel. I would ask that Nancy, in and of herself, would be a consoling agent in her mother's life, that she would quell any fear that her mother might have, that she would help her mother to see that we are all pilgrims on a journey, and that this journey in this life will end, but that we will experience your profound love for us as we see you face to face. I pray, Mary, our mother, that you would go to your spouse, the Holy Spirit, and obtain for Nancy's mother every spiritual blessing in the heavens that she needs. If there is anything that needs to be set aright within her, I pray that it would be set aright, and it would be set aright as soon as possible. If there is anyone whom she needs to forgive or anyone from whom she needs to ask forgiveness, I pray that this is all handled, that this is all resolved, that she takes nothing of any kind of bitterness or resentment toward her or from her into eternal life. I ask that there would be profound healing of her memories and profound healing of her heart that would go on, any heart wounds that are there. I ask for an efficacy grace that comes to her now and begins and takes this healing process completely to its fulfillment, that when she enters into eternal life, none of this needs to be sorted out, but that it's all been done. If there is any long-standing sin that has not been confessed because of shame, because of confusion, because of doubt, because of guilt, morbid guilt, I pray that Nancy's mom would have the confidence now to confess this sin, to receive the fullness of life that you intend for her to receive and the mercy that is everlasting. I pray for Nancy in a special way on this, your feast day, Mom, and I ask that you would be there for her as she continues to fight this fight against alcoholism and addiction. I ask that consolations from heaven would come that would minister to her as a type of affirmation of the step that she's taken to get right back into the program again. I pray that for her, this would be a moment of intensified growth spiritually, that she would experience a deep level of purification and sanctification as a result of the good choice that she has made. Mother, we entrust all of this to your most immaculate heart on this, your feast day. And we do this, Father God, in your will, by the merits of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it is that we pray, Amen. And once again, make that holy sign that marks us as your children, as soldiers in your army, that reminds us of the seal that is ours in the Holy Spirit. And so it is that we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Jonette.
You're welcome, darling. And, you know, I know that our Blessed Mother, if this is the time of your mom's passing, I know that our Blessed Mother is going to be there walking that path with you and walking that journey with you, okay?
Thank you so much, Jonette.
You're welcome, baby. And may the peace that surpasses understanding be yours, okay?
And also yours.
Thank you.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. You know, goodness sakes, we all have challenges, don't we, friends? And we all have crosses that we carry and crosses that we bear. But the cross never need have the last word. It never need have the last word. Romans 8:28 should really be the scripture passage that we cling to. For God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. We don't know how he works it to the good. We don't know what good will come. But as Nancy points out, we have hope that it is coming and that we will see it, that we'll know it and recognize it, and that we can move in it and let it move in us. Let's go to Mary. She's calling us from Ohio today. St. Gabriel Catholic Radio is the way that she is with us. Good morning, Mary.
Yes, I need prayers. I love your program. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
I need prayers for a girl. Her name's Kate.
Okay.
Evangelista. She was in a bad car accident Monday. The airbag did not go out on the passenger side, but it did on the driver's side, and she was on the passenger side. And she's in a trauma unit up at OSU and in intensive care with her brain and everything. And she's only 24.
Okay. You know, it's interesting that you asked this prayer request, because I received a prayer request from my daughter for a very similar situation. And I'm wondering if this is the same girl, which would be really quite amazing. So, well, let us just join together. And her name is Kate, did you say, Mary?
Yeah, Kate. She used to work up at the airport in Columbus.
Okay. All right. Well, Father God, we come before you again, and on this beautiful feast of our Blessed Lady, we ask a special petition. And Mother, we do ask for a favor that comes from your Immaculate Heart for Kate and for all of those who are praying for her. We ask for her complete and total healing, complete and total restoration for Kate today. We ask that whatever injuries she has sustained, these injuries would be mitigated, that they would be handled, that there would be resolution for them. We pray that you would supernaturalize the natural gifts and talents of the doctors and technicians and nurses that are attending to her. We ask that you would give them wisdom, Father God, wisdom that they probably don't even have at this point in time, but wisdom on what the course of action should be. We ask that you would make a path for your daughter, Kate, so that she would be fully recovered and could forever proclaim your marvelous deeds. We pray in a special way for her parents, who I know are suffering so intensely interiorly, watching their daughter experience the horror of that accident and its after effects. We ask that you sustain them in this moment of trauma. We ask this for all of the family members that are Kate's, whether it be siblings or extended family members. We ask again for your mercy to flow down from the heavenlies on this special feast day and be healing, restorative, renewing graces for Kate and for all of those who have special intentions on this, the Day of Our Lady. Well, I must tell you, friends, we hear that music. We've got questions here that we cannot get to today, but do call us back tomorrow. We're going to be live with you once again right here on Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and do know this, I tuck you into my rosary. So even if we didn't get to your prayer request or answer your question today, know that you are being prayed for, and I do ask that you pray for me. May God bless you. Until we're together again, take care. Bye-bye now.